welcome to episode 157 of Cowboys Ride for Free, the podcast. My name is Joel Penfield. As always, I'm joined by Philip Slavin. We apologize that it's been a couple weeks since the last episode. We've had some audio issues recording the last couple episodes, and we want to get the best quality out that we possibly can for you, and it just wasn't there. We had a really good interview that was supposed to go up a couple weeks ago. Unfortunately, the audio, our connection was really bad. The audio wasn't good, so we had to scrap it. Philip, Micah, and I recorded an episode while we were on site at the Frisco Classic, and that audio got pretty bad as well. My computer just sucks and I need a new one. So we, like I said, we apologize that it's been a couple weeks, but we're back and we got a lot to talk about today, Philip.
Yeah, we got a bit. And I think we need to start with basketball. And we just right out of the gate, JP. Let's talk about how Oklahoma State went down to Austin, a team that had won six games in a row, including pulling off wins over West Virginia, Texas Tech, and at Oklahoma. And Oklahoma State went in and had by far, outside of maybe Ole Miss in Brooklyn, the most dominant performance of the season. And it was...
they just beat the brakes off of them. Like, call a spade a spade.
Oh, man.
It was awesome. I was at the we'll get to baseball here in a minute, but I was at the BYU-Oklahoma State game with my wife. And the game ended about 3:30. So I hadn't seen the score. I hadn't checked the score. I've been watching the game. Drive home, turn it on. It was 27-7. I was like, wait, what? And I was just waiting for that run that Texas was going to go on. I was waiting for that lull offensively. And it just never came. And Oklahoma State just kept soundly just beating Texas on, you know, in transition, forcing them to take bad shots on the defensive end, and just, I mean, soundly just thumped them. And they sent their ability. I think Joel Lunardi had them like an 89% chance to get into the tournament with a win. It's down to 53%. They are squarely back on the bubble and need a really good week in Kansas City to be a lock for the NCAA tournament.
Yeah, latest bracket has Texas as one of the last four in, and I mean a third of the four. So he puts them in order, like 1, 2, 3, 4. They are third. They're in one of the 11 seed play-in games. They have to play Texas Tech, and while Texas Tech's not a – like, it would be a bad loss. I don't think Texas wants to lose that Big 12 tournament opener. For Oklahoma State, I think – This game was a nice seal on this last 10-game run. But if you look, Oklahoma State went 7-3 in their last 10. That's what's frustrating.
So I'll ask you this real quick. So after the 0-8 start in conference play, did you think 7 wins was possible?
No. Honestly. Same. Like, yeah, no. Honestly, you just – because you kept watching them going, man, this is – like, and you launched at things and you knew the issues were likely, but it was so much more than that. Like, they couldn't shoot. The offensive strategy wasn't great. Like, there was more things. We'll get to the likely in a minute, but it was more things than just him. Like, this was a team that couldn't shoot the ball, and they couldn't figure out why they couldn't shoot the ball. And it took them too long to adjust to the fact that this was a team that couldn't shoot the ball all that well. It did. That if you want to point at something as far as pointing to the coaching staff, And that they hold blame for this season, it's two things. A, you didn't have a reliable backup point guard. B, it took you longer than the fan base to realize that this team could not shoot and to adjust your offensive strategy to accommodate that fact. And once they did, you saw them start to play better and start to get more wins. Now, credit, part of it is the schedule. You got Kansas State twice. You had a home game against TCU and a home game against Iowa State, and Bedlam at home in Stillwater is always, you know, what it is. So you really only pulled off a couple of, like, ooh, wins, like beating Texas Tech at home or going on the road here at the end of the season and boat racing Texas. So it's not like you went through and beat all these great teams. You lost to Kansas, lost to West Virginia, and lost to Baylor. But this was a team that lost to Iowa State on the road and lost to TCU on the road and looked terrible against Texas at home and could play great defense but couldn't score a point against West Virginia at home. And it just – like you – that 0-8 one wasn't just that they went – started conference play 0-8. They looked bad all the time. Outside of close games against Baylor, they just looked bad. Look, this is a nice way to end the season. But I really think it just points to This team, I think, is what we thought they were when actually healthy before the year. And unfortunately, they just weren't.
Yeah, I mean, it was one of the most frustrating stretches of basketball I've ever watched in with any team, any year, whatever, because we knew how good this team was and the potential that they could play with. And it just seems like they could not figure things out. There's a lot of injuries. There's a lot of just turnover issue. There everything that could have gone wrong for Oklahoma State at that time really just did. I mean, there's no two ways around it. But they made some offensive changes, likely got to 100%. You know, you don't want to pin this all on one dude. And obviously that, you know, going through mono, you need to get healthy for that because you can have so many repercussions if you try and battle back from it too quickly. But when he got to 100%, you can see how good this team got. People aren't joking when they say that he's the straw that stirs the drink. He is on the offensive and defensive end. And outside of really the West Virginia game, he's played really solid in this whole stretch. And you see how it, you know, impacted Cam McGriff. Cam McGriff has been awesome. He's been doing what we talked about for weeks and months now of play like LeBrian Nash did when he was a senior. Play 15 feet and then step out every once in a while, drive and get to the lane and knock down your mid-range shots. And that's what he's done. And I think this stretch of games got him that honorable mention all conference. I don't think he would have gotten it if he had continued to play the way he did. So I think a huge credit to him for just changing his game and playing the way he did. And man, Dizzy didn't miss in Austin. That was fun to watch.
Oh, absolutely. I love that for the two of them. I love that for, you know, this is their senior year. There's not a lot of games left. To be able to see them get to go down to Austin and do that to Texas is a lot of fun. Now, the point of likely is this. We could talk about 100%, and some of you might have seen the tweet I put out. And let's put it this way. If you listen to the Cowboy Chronicles podcast with Scott Wright and Jacob Unruh made a point that the game at Baylor, where they lost 78-70, was a very close game. That game was back on February 8th, I believe. That is the first time that it's believed that Isaac Likely was 100%. It's 100% recovered from mono. That's what happens to mono. If you don't understand mono, just because you're like the illness is gone, it saps you in such a way that it takes a long time to fully recover, especially for an athlete like Likely to get back to being able to play full games, not get exhausted, not get tired, not wear out by the end of the game. Like, I understand you're tired of the end of the game. I'm saying not, and actually be able to play, you're like yourself. So the tweet I put out was this, that Oklahoma's that Likely at 90% or better. So I'm going to say the TCU game before the Baylor game, I would say he was at 90% or more at that point. So if you take from the TCU game to the end of the season and the games before he got mono, Oklahoma State went 14-3. The rest of the games, they were 3-11. I understand there's other stuff. I understand that Lenny Waters hasn't been healthy all year. He's dealing with plantar fasciitis. I understand that Dizzy got the flu for game. I understand all of that. But when Isaac Likely was close to 100%, this team won games. When he wasn't, they didn't. And I have people like, well, how do you know it was 90? Look, if you want me to go back a game and say, okay, fine, let's throw the road game at Oklahoma. So now they were 14-4 with him and 3-10. Like, he wasn't fully healthy against Kansas. He wasn't fully healthy against at all on the road at Iowa State. Yeah, they beat A&M on the road. A&M was bad. I know they've turned things around, but they were bad. You got a nice win there. You look at what this team was when he was healthy, and that's what it's basically been for the last month and a half. This is the team we thought we would have. The 7-0 start was the team we thought we have. And that terrible stretch from basically Georgetown through Kansas at home is what this team was without him. And if you keep him, if he doesn't get mono, if he stays healthy, this team is in the NCAA tournament. This team hears their name called on Selection Sunday. And that's where I go back to and say, has Boynton been perfect? No. He is very much learning on the job. That's what happens when you promote an assistant to his first time head coaching job at a big boy school like Oklahoma State. But from year one, and this is where I'm leading to all of this, from year one where they should have been in the tournament and the committee screwed them. Sorry, they did. For year two, you literally had to kick off. By the way, year one, you had two guys you had to kick off for being knuckleheads. Year two, you basically had to kick off half of your team because they're a bunch of idiots. And so your team suffers. To year three, where your starting point guard gets mono and is basically not himself for half the season. And you had to have a guy who had to leave the program. I understand if you don't like Boynton, I get it. If you want somebody different, that's fine. That's your opinion. I would just like him to be able to actually coach a season with the roster he came in with and no major just out of his control BS happening. I would like him to just have a season where he gets to coach the guys he brought in and things go normal. Injuries happen. Players get banged up. Stuff happens for a game or two. I get it. I would like him to be able to go a whole season where his players do something stupid. Don't have to miss a half a season. Don't have to get kicked off the team where the opponents they schedule that are good are actually good and don't decide to have their worst season in history. Like, just let things be normal and let's see what he can do.
Yeah, I mean, it could have been very easy for this team to just pack it in when Likely goes down for a month. You get boat raced by Minnesota. You lose to Wichita State. You lose to Georgetown. You start 0-8. Very easy for this team to just roll over and let's just move on to next year and go 0-20 or whatever, 0-18 in conference or whatever. And they just never did that. You could see the fight, even when they couldn't knock down shots. They were still fighting, and it just shows how much they believe in their coach and how much Boynton believes in those guys on the floor. And it is very interesting, and it's something that's interesting, but it's also not how the Boynton haters and the people that want to call him Travis Ford 2.0 and think he's a shitty coach have been really, really silent the last couple weeks, and it's doing my heart good. I'll say that much.
Yeah, no, I agree. Like, I like him. I want him to succeed. If he doesn't, that's fine, but I want him to. Next year is a big year for him.
Oh, it's a huge year.
I think expectations are going to probably be a little bit maybe too high because of what's coming in. But next year feels like if he can get things to just to be normal for a year, we can see what he can actually do, and we might want to see this program kind of start to take back off. So I am excited for the probable NIT. Oklahoma State's obviously got to go to Kansas City, beat Iowa State on Wednesday. I think they can do that. I do. Do that. Lose to Kansas. It's going to happen. It's fine. And then just wait to find out if you can at least be a top four seed in one of the four, 1-4 seeds in the NIT, so you can host a home game to start NIT play. I want to see this team keep playing. I want to see what they can continue to do. And I want the freshmen to continue to have the opportunity to practice, and to play and to play some postseason basketball.
Yeah. I think postseason basketball is in the team's future if they can win, on will that be Wednesday, I believe, against Iowa State.
Yeah.
If they can win that game, then I think they're a lock for some seed in the NIT. And I think for this team to play postseason basketball, for the season not to end in the Big 12 tournament, I think that'll pay some kind of dividends in some capacity for next season. I feel good about where next season is at. And if they can win a game or two in the NIT as well, I think that'll push some momentum for some of these guys into next season. So I don't think there's a lot riding on the rest of the season, but it would be awesome to see them get to postseason play and then play and then win a couple games there. And for those seniors to kind of finish things out on a high note would be huge.
Yeah, no, I agree. I absolutely agree.
All right, we're going to move on. We're going to talk a little bit of baseball here. They've had quite a few games here at the Frisco Classic, and then they had four home games this past week. We'll hit on those really quick. Before we do that, we'll be right back after a word from the sponsor.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy
Priceline.
All right, Philip, you and I and Micah were down at the Frisco Classic last weekend. Obviously at the, I think it was a Dr. Pepper ballpark where the Frisco Rough Riders play. It was a great weekend, just a fun weekend in general, even though Oklahoma State went 1-2. I had a great time. Oklahoma State played UCLA on Friday, Illinois on Saturday, and then Texas A&M on Sunday. Lost the first 2 days, just some tough baseball. Turned around on Sunday against a really good Texas A&M team, top 15 team, and beat them 8-5. It was what were some of your thoughts? You were only there for Friday, Saturday, but what were some of your overall takeaways from Cowboy baseball that weekend?
Well, I'll say this. UCLA is really good.
For anyone that needs perspective on how good UCLA is, we had the best performance against them. If that says anything, we lost 8-1.
Yeah,
A&M lost 10-2, and then Illinois lost 14-1 on Sunday. So UCLA is clearly one of the top two or three teams in the country.
The Illinois game was frustrating because it felt like Oklahoma State had a very nice performance. There's a reason that I'm not like a baseball fan, but I like Oklahoma State baseball. Watching you guys hit the ball well and everything literally just not going your way, it was very much how the Illinois game felt and seemed to be. So it was a nice time to be out there. It was nice to hang out with you too. I think it was a frustrating Friday and Saturday. It was nice to see them get the win on Sunday. A&M was the one who went 0-3, which is definitely not who I thought would go 0-3 in that tournament.
Not at all.
But for Oklahoma State to get that win on Sunday was huge. That is, from an RPI standpoint, that is Oklahoma State's best win of the season. That by far, like at Arizona State is like second, and I don't think it's as close. That close of a second, like it's a nice win. I think my takeaway for Big 12 for Oklahoma State this season is this, and I think at this point they're 11. They're 11-5.
Yes, 11-5.
I think Oklahoma State is a very good team. I think they have a very high ceiling. I think they are better than bad. They're a good team that should beat most of the bad teams they play. Like, you're going to get a loss like the Missouri State loss on Tuesday. It's going to happen. Weird stuff happens, midweek game losses. I think they're going to struggle against the best teams because of the youth and because of the number of freshmen who have such a big impact on this team. But I think that this is a team that is going to win a lot of games. It should be able to host a regional still. I still feel like I'm not putting them top eight, but I could see a 14 seed and hosting a regional come postseason. So again, I think they are going to beat the teams they should beat. I think they're going to pull off some wins like A&M, but I do think when they're facing some of the best teams in baseball this year, I think they're going to struggle because of the freshmen they have. But that doesn't mean it's not a good team. They're not going to get some wins. I think that's where they are. I think they're a good team who's probably a year away with some of these young guys.
Yeah, I believe it was actually the first time that I was able to watch this team in person, was the games in Frisco against UCLA, Illinois, and A&M. And you could see, especially with the freshmen, just the raw ability and the raw talent. It is there, I'm telling you folks. It hasn't been tapped into quite yet, but it's there, especially on the pitching side. Bryce Osmond, Justin Campbell, Cale Davis, so your big three freshmen. Osmond and Davis, I believe, are draft eligible sophomores. So enjoy those guys while they are in town. But those three guys are so big for this team, and it's so tough for freshmen to come in right away. And rarely do you ever see them make just an immediate lights out impact. It's so tough because the difference between high school and travel ball pitching and, you know, and hitters, it's so much different than college hitters. And when you're going in there and you have to make that jump right away and go, hey, you're my Friday starter, let's go, it's tough. But I think playing in a tournament like that against some teams that are going to be, you know, obviously UCLA is going to be in Omaha, I'll just say that now. Texas A&M is going to be a team that's going to be fighting for that. They're going to be they have a loaded SEC, but they're going to have a good shot to at least host a regional. And Illinois is going to be in a regional too. That's a really sneaky good team. You don't hear a lot about baseball in the Big Ten, but that was a really well-coached team, a really just fundamentally sound team, and just overall just solid program. So I was very impressed with what I saw from them. But I think you see the raw ability from Oklahoma State. even in losses, you could see hitting the ball hard. The pitching was there, and they would just give up, you know, a weak single up the middle or something like that. So a lot of things can go wrong for these guys, but I think I saw a huge step forward, especially from Bryce Osmond on Sunday. The crowd was going against him, chanting, you know, ball seven, ball six, whatever, when he couldn't find the zone. And he found a way to battle through five innings and keep Oklahoma State in the game. You know, Caden Trinkle is another true freshman. He's the two-hole hitter for this team, and he doesn't wow you with just like raw ability, but you can just see, oh, that guy's really good. He's super tools. He's super sneaky. I really like the way he has played over this season so far. He struggled a little bit in the tournament overall, but I think he's the guy definitely to keep an impact. It will make an impact. And then moving into this weekend, man, you know, you go 3-1, you lose a weird game to Missouri State. It was 11-10. Neither team really could pitch and find that, you know, that out pitch, you know, a high scoring game like that. You just kind of take your lumps and move on. To find offense like that early on in the season is so tough. And for Oklahoma State to be able to score 10 runs, even in a loss, that at least shows me that they're going to be able to, you know, the sticks are going to be able to work well enough. They're going to be able to hold on. You sweep BYU, but you saw that step forward from Justin Campbell and Bryce Osmond. Campbell going 8 innings with 9 strikeouts. Parker Scott shouldn't be forgotten either. 13 strikeouts in 7 innings. Bryce Osmond threw really well yesterday. Had some location issues, but I mean, the fact that he's sitting 93 to 95, hitting 97 with a wipeout slider, like for the fact that he's able to maintain his velocity like that as a freshman is going to be really tough for hitter for any sort of college hitter. So there's a lot to like about this team. The veterans have been really good. I think, like, I agree with you. I think this team is a really high ceiling. I think they're a top 16. I don't think they're going to be top 8 unless they really start to, you know, turn it on in conference play. I think playing TCU and Tech early on in conference play will tell us a lot about where this team is at. But I really like what I've seen from this team so far.
No, absolutely. Yeah, looking at this week, you know, St. Louis coming in 10-4 for two games Tuesday and Wednesday, RPI 173. Fresno State for the weekend, 3-game series. They're 8-7, RPI 207. So you would feel good with a 4-1. Like, you don't want to lose one of those games. I get it, but I think 4-1 is a comfortable expectation. And then I'm going to learn how to put this real. Shit gets real, folks, like real fast, because you get to road game at Dallas Baptist, followed by the opening of Oak Brake Stadium with TCU coming to town. You get a game against Wichita State, who's really good this year, but followed by three-game road series at Texas. Then you get a game against Oklahoma and Tulsa, and then 3 games against Texas Tech. Let me just say this. The Big 12 schedule is front-loaded for Oklahoma State, guys. Like, TCU, Texas, Texas Tech, these are 3 teams that are in the top half of the conference. All have started the seasons really well. Texas Tech 16-1. Texas is 13-3. Like, these are good teams. So, like, the back half of the schedule is kind of nice for Oklahoma State, West Virginia, Kansas, Baylor back there. But the front half, we'll find out fairly quickly in Big 12 play, I think, what kind of season Oklahoma State's going to have and what they could be this year. I mean, that you should know after those first 3 Big 12 series if they have a shot at a host and finishing in the top 3 in the Big 12 or not. Like, it just kind of feels that way.
Yeah. And I'm just looking through the stats for some of the guys on this team, and I'd just like you to know that your favorite player, Caden Polkovich, still has an on-base percentage of .500.
He's my favorite dude. Like, leads the team in walks.
He's gonna go in the top 5 rounds of the MLB draft. So
oh yeah, he's gone after this year.
Yeah, enjoy him now. But
get as much out of him as possible.
Yeah, watching this team this year hit, it's much different than what we saw last year. Last year, I mean, it was you're gonna hit a lot of home runs. This year, they just don't do a lot of that. It's a lot of gap-to-gap power. Doubles is really where this team thrives. And they have 33 as a team so far and only 12 home runs. But you have a lot of guys that are going to hit for a decent average. They're going to get on base. They're going to drive runners in. They're going to bunt, which I absolutely hate. But they're going to drive runners in. You know, they're going to frenzy hit. And if you don't know what that means from baseball, it means they're just going to – they may not – string hits together every single game. They're going to have 1 or 2 innings a game where you're going to see 5 or 6 hits and 4 runs. just that quick, and it just feels like it's they're not going to stop. And they were able to do that a few times on Sunday against BYU, and that's where I think the strength of this team is just 1-9 being, you know, tough, winning every pitch, winning every at bat, and being a tough out and just finding ways to get on base. And you're going to be able to, you know, chunk runs together, and then a bloop and a blast later, and you're up by 5. It very much feels like that's how this team is going to play, and they're fun to watch, man, especially when they get going. So that's where I'm at with it.
Yeah.
Also, never bunt. I will campaign that. Put that shit on a T-shirt.
Hashtag never bunt. Yeah, this is. I think this is a big weekend. It is. It's. And look, here's the other thing about this weekend, folks. If you don't realize it, these are officially the last games at Alley P.
Yeah.
There are 5 games left at Alley P Stadium. You get Tuesday, Wednesday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and that's it. And the following weekend, you open O'Brien. So if you are in Stillwater, around Stillwater, want to go, if you can be in Stillwater on Sunday, I wonder what the crowd will be like on Sunday.
I wonder if OSU really
pushes. Like, it's, I know they tried to make last year the official and make a big deal out of it, and I know they've kind of, it's been more of a focus on O'Brien, but I would really try and push this weekend of, look, these are officially the last days of LAP. Let's come. Let's make it as special as we can. I would try and pull in as many people as possible. Like that's what I would do, is really try and make this weekend a big deal. The opponent's not much. Fresno State's RPS 206. They're 8-7. Like I don't mean a dog Fresno State. Like they might lose a game to Fresno State. It could happen, but this would be a big weekend to be there.
Yeah, I definitely will be there. I will let you know kind of what the crowd is like. I'll take pictures and all that kind of stuff. From your time as a student there, or being able to come back to Stillwater, do you have any like memories or like one game that kind of sticks out in your mind? If you ever went to games while you were there,
I never went to the baseball. I went to like a couple of football games. I'll be honest. Long story short, because I know I've told this on the pod, if I haven't, I was there for like a year. I didn't actually graduate from OSU. I'm not an OSU alum.
Gotcha.
So thanks for throwing me under the bus there, bud.
I totally did not know that.
How? We've had this conversation.
You have never had this conversation with me.
Yes.
You. The only thing I've known about your time at Oklahoma State was that your freshman year was the final 4 years. That's all I knew. So I just assumed that you were there all 4 years and stuff. Never knew.
No, that was also my only year at Oklahoma State, okay, which is why I'm a diehard OSU fan. All right, fine. For those who don't know, I actually graduated from OU. And for those who want to tell me I'm not a true Oklahoma State fan, I was there for the Final Four season. I became a diehard Oklahoma State fan. And I spent 2 years in Norman living, being an Oklahoma State fan while a student at OU. And the amount of shit that was piled down upon me, I don't want to hear anyone ever question my loyalty to Oklahoma State and how orange my blood is.
I will never question that ever, 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 ever. My goodness. I truly did not know that.
No, basketball was the sport I cared about then. That's why I love Oklahoma State basketball. I wish they were good. If you want to go football stories, I remember sitting in Norman. I worked at a bar. I got off work so I could watch the OSU Missouri game. You know the one. The one that launched OSU football when they went on the road and beat number 3 Missouri.
Yeah,
I was sitting in a booth at work and just got hammered watching that game, losing my friggin' mind. So, no. Basketball. But yeah, that's why I'm an OSU fan. I did not go to a baseball game while I was at OSU as a student.
Gotcha. So if there was one that sticks on my mind, I remember I went to a bunch my freshman year. That was the College World Series year in 2016.
God, you're so young.
Yeah, fair enough. But that was the game. They played TCU. It was a really big series.
That's always a big thing.
TCU was number 4. Oklahoma State was 25. This was when Oklahoma State was really surging in conference play. They were a really good. They were a solid team. It was kind of like what we saw last year, where they were really just kind of good, like, you know, just solid. And then they just went on a stretch where they just started scorching everybody. And this game, it was the first game of a 3-start run for Thomas Hatch, where he threw complete game shutouts. And he threw 9 innings, gave up 5 hits, 1 walk, 10 strikeouts. And I think the only guy that got to second base he picked off. Like, it was one of the most dominant starts that I've seen in college in person. and that when he was on, like, no one was touching him. Oklahoma State ended up winning that game 9-0 against TCU. They won 2 out of 3 in that series. But I will always remember that Friday game. It was one of the quickest. It was under 3 hours, which, for if you've ever been to a college game, is a friggin' miracle. But that was one of I was with a bunch of my buddies, and we were all just like, this is – it was just awesome. That is one that will always stick out in my mind.
That was a weird season.
Yeah, 2016 was a weird year. I was talking to Trey about that, Trey Cobb, friend of the podcast. He said they started that year just really rough. I think they were like 2-6 to start that season, and then just found a way to just turn it around, and they got hot.
They were 2-5. Their Big 12 record was fine. Like, they swept K-State, lost the series to West Virginia, got swept by Texas Tech, swept Baylor, 2-1 against TCU, swept Texas, lost the series to OU. How often does that happen? Couldn't hit. Swept Kansas, and then went 1-2 in the Big 12 baseball tournament.
Yeah, and then they go on. They went scorched earth in the regional. I still think that home run that Colin Thoreau hit in Supers to put them up in the late in the game. I don't think that one has landed yet, and we're 4 years removed from that one. He didn't hit a lot, but man, when he got a hold of one, whoo! Boy.
They were because the pitching was just ridiculous. Once they got because you won 6-0, 12-2, 9-2, 5-1, 3-1, 1-0, 1-0, and then
the 6-0 Colton got to Omaha, but I mean, Hatch, Buffett, Tyler Buffett, Trey Cobb, Blake Battenfield, that bullpen and that team was just, they were so good. And I think that this team can be that type of good, but the freshmen have to grow up really quick, and I think they will. I think they took some big steps forward, especially on the mound this weekend. For Justin Campbell to throw 8 shutout innings and 9 strikeouts, I think that says a lot about what he's going to do. And then Osmond was really impressive, even though he got a little wild there in the 5th, but for him to get out of that after loading the bases, you have a single, a walk, and a hit by pitch, and then to only get out of that giving up 1 run was really impressive. His pitchability is really, really good. So there's a lot to like about this team. Getting back to the team here in 2020, that TCU series is really going to tell us a lot. TCU is really good, as always. They're just a well-coached team. And if Oklahoma State can find a way to win that series, then I'll feel really good about where they're at going forward.
Yeah. No, I was impressed by the pitching. I really was. They had a very nice weekend against BYU. I think they'll continue to move forward. Yeah, if they could, those first 9 conference games, 3 against TCU at home, 3 against Texas on the road, 3 against Texas Tech at home, like that's
a gauntlet. That's about
honest to goodness. Yeah. If you can come out of that 9-game stretch 5-4, you're gonna feel really good.
Oh yeah.
Like, and that's I'm sorry. Like, that is a difficult stretch to open conference play. Thank goodness they go to Kansas State after that. They're garbage. So. I'm looking forward to it.
We'll move on here a little bit. We'll hit some other sports. Shout out to Cowboy Wrestling, 8th straight conference title. We got individual champions Nick Piccinini at 125, Bula Wallen at 149, and Travis Whitlake at 165. You got a couple third place finishers, Dusty Hone, Anthony Montalvo, Joe Smith, and there was one more, Dakota Gear. Finished 3rd, White Sheets finished 2nd, so they had a really, really good day today in sessions 3 and 4. They went 9-0 this morning in consolations, and Reese Whitcraft finished 7th as well, so he clinched a spot in Nationals too. They had a really good day yesterday after really kind of struggling in session 1. So you're feeling good, at least, you know, 8 straight titles. Oklahoma State hasn't done that since the 1920s, so which is when you do anything when you match any sort of record that Oklahoma State Wrestling has done, I think that's really impressive. Even though it's your own team, it's still really, really cool. And this has been a kind of a down year overall, which is crazy to think about because they're still a top 10 team in the country. But you still feel good about where this team is at. They're going to be able to have a couple guys that are going to compete at Nationals, going to be up there for All-American opportunities. So there's still some good things that have gone on this season for sure.
Oh, yeah. No, absolutely. Like locking up your 8th straight conference title after the first 3 sessions is impressive. I still think it tells you how much where Oklahoma State is in comparison to the rest of the conference, though. Shout out to Iowa State, who is on the rise. They really are. They're moving up quickly. They're doing a good job. And some other solid programs, but OU could stop sucking. That'd be nice. We're going to have to get Brandon on before the NCAA championships. Like, we're going to have to get him on and just talk about this team and stuff moving forward. I had him on my show last week for the midweek pod to preview the Big 12 tournament. So he does a good job. We'll get him on the show.
Definitely. And I know you wanted to get into a couple women's sports here really quick. Softball's won 11 in a row. Women's tennis is doing really well, too. And I'll let you kind of dive into that real quick.
Oh, hell yeah. Women's sports. Okay, first up, let's talk some women's tennis. Folks, if you didn't know, the women's tennis team is really, really good. They are the one I actually think is in the best spot to win the Oklahoma State, its first women's like national championship of an NCAA. I understand equestrian. Women's NCAA national championship. I think women's tennis is in the best spot. They are 11-1 so far in the season. Started conference play out 2-0 this weekend, beating number 42 Texas Tech 4-1 and beating TCU 6-1. And while they haven't played a ton of ranked opponents, their one loss comes to number 25 at the time, Ohio State, 4-3. They beat number 11 Pepperdine. They beat number 30 South Carolina. And they have, for all the teams they played who aren't ranked, dominated 7-0, 6-1, 4-0, 4-0, 6-1, 6-1, 4-1, 6-1. Like, folks, they are just murdering everybody who's not a ranked team. This program is good. This team is good. I'm excited to watch them continue through conference play, see what they have. They've also got a couple other non-conference games mixed in. They got a game at Miami and a game at UCF, but this is a very impressive start again to the season for a team that I expect to again make it to the NCAA tournament and have a real shot to make some noise. The other team we have to talk about, folks, is the softball team. Guys, this weekend was awesome. Awesome. Before I get to the weekend specific, let's save that. You and I can chat about it. Okay. Mizuno Classic this weekend hosted Missouri State, Murray State, Mercer, and Utah. They went a perfect 5-0. They're on an 11-game win streak. It's not just that they won all five. Understand, they run-ruled four of them. Okay, that includes run-ruling number 25 Utah 11-2 in six innings. Okay, 11-game win streak. That includes two wins over Oregon and Utah. This team is really good. And I'll tell you right now, they got six games coming up against Wichita State, some teams, Columbia, Western Illinois, not to dog them, but this 11-game win streak is probably going to reach the 17 before they go to Georgia and to face some nice teams from the state of Georgia. Also, Kelly Maxwell throws a no-no. That's a no-hitter perfect game that goes with the perfect game she threw earlier in the season. The pitching for this team is ridiculous. Okay, this softball team is legit. This is a really, really, like, last year's team was really good. This one might be better. I don't know yet. I really want to see what happens when they get into conference play. I have to face the Oklahomas and the Texases, but this team is legit. This is another team that's going to be in a regional. Maybe they can actually host this year if they don't just bias it towards, you know, the same teams they always do because the softball ranks is full, whatever. But I do want to note one thing about this classic this weekend. What something weird kind of happened this weekend, and Scott Wright of the Oklahoman wrote about it. And essentially what happens is that Oklahoma had some teams cancel on them as far as what they were supposed to be hosting. So OU and OSU kind of teamed up this weekend. A couple of the teams that OSU played, OU actually kind of brought in for them to play. OSU brought some teams to them. And OU and OSU both played all these same teams this weekend. OU had a couple of them in Norman and then came to Stillwater for the rest of them, which is kind of neat. I think it is. Well, one quote from it was that Gisso and Gajewski basically see this as a beneficial to both teams and have, let's say, considered or talked about or would love to host a non-conference tournament in Oklahoma City. Let me just tell you right now, Oklahoma State and Oklahoma both struggle to get really good teams to come to the state of Oklahoma. Okay, it's hard to get those teams to come play. Getting Oregon in Stillwater last weekend was huge, huge to be able to have that opportunity. If OU and OSU could host a tournament in Oklahoma City, OU and OSU don't have to play each other. But if they could get teams, you could get teams like an Oregon and an LSU or a Florida State or other Auburn. I'm trying to think of their like ranked team, Alabama or Minnesota, to come to Oklahoma and play. It's hugely beneficial for Oklahoma State to be able to have some of these marquee teams come to Oklahoma and get to play them in front of a home crowd. I would love for that to happen. I think it would be a cool thing if it would happen. It made me start thinking, why can't best like other teams in sports do this? Like, why can't the men's basketball do that and host in Oklahoma City? Like, they used to have the all-college. Just bring two teams in. You both play both teams. Your records are whatever. But you get some nice teams. And I love that idea. I think it's something that they should do. I hope it happens. Go OSU softball.
Yeah, this team is so good. And I unfortunately have not been able to make a game yet. I've wanted to, but I haven't had the chance yet. I'm going to try and go on Wednesday when they play Wichita State. Just try and support the team because they are really good and they deserve everybody going to that stadium, man, because they are a fun team to watch. You just see the highlights. And, I mean, Carrie Eberle, you know, to get a grad transfer to come in, she's been really good. Kelly Maxwell, as a true freshman, to throw a perfect game and a no-no to start her career, that's really good. And then I'm just looking at the stats here, and Carrie Eberle has a 0.51 ERA. Kelly Maxwell's 1.51. Logan Simonek's 2.40. And let's see, 63 strikeouts, 28 walks, Carrie Eberle, 57-16 for Maxwell, and then 26-20 for Simonek. But still, like, to get the pitching that they do from this team, as well as to be able to the thump they have in that lineup. I didn't realize it. Allison Fiebrey has 11 home runs already this season. And I'm looking, and the NCAA stats haven't updated yet. Last updated, yeah, so it hasn't updated this weekend yet. But she is now tied for the lead, I believe, in the NCAA with 11 home runs this season. So that's something just to keep an eye on so far.
Man. This team is good. No, the Big 12, yeah. I think the Big 12 is really good this year. Texas is really good. Oklahoma is always solid, always one of the better teams. Baylor's kind of bounced back from a down year. Texas Tech solid. Like, this is a good Big 12, which would benefit Oklahoma State. Like, the Big 12 was down a little bit last year, and I think that's part of why, even though they finished second place, they didn't get enough credit for it. You've got some nice wins to hang your hat on in non-conference. You've got some more opportunities. The conference is going to be better this year than it was last year. If Oklahoma State could have another year where they finish second, even third, like, this is the kind of year where the schedule will allow them to be rewarded for it. So as a great start, a lot of softball still to play, but this is a really, really good team who I think has a very high ceiling and has a legitimate shot to get back to Oklahoma City. When we say Oklahoma City, that's like Omaha for softball.
Yeah, exactly. It's going to be fun to follow. Baseball and softball are going to be really fun to follow here over the next couple months, especially with the new stadium opening for baseball. But this softball team is going to be really fun to keep an eye on over the next couple months. I think they're going to be – they have a chance to do something really special here in Stillwater.
Agreed.
Philip, do you have any final thoughts here on this episode?
No, honestly. Go Pokes. I don't know. That was a lot. We did a lot.
Yeah, good enough. Yeah, we hit a lot of topics. And we said we apologize for the last couple weeks. I said my audio was just a little jacked up, and I just didn't feel comfortable putting it out for you guys. I know that there are people, even someone that listens to the podcast for the first time, would have found a way to bitch about it, and I just didn't want to deal with it. So we'll find a way to. So we'll get this out to you. We'll be more consistent here over the next couple weeks. We're gonna try and get more guests on, talk basketball, baseball, softball, what have you. We're gonna get some fun episodes out here for you as quickly as we can. Philip, where can everyone follow you on Twitter?
Follow me personally at OKTXARPoke. Follow my show, the 1012 Podcast, and the number 12, the word podcast. We're gonna be all basketball for the next couple weeks on the Big 12 show, and then we'll lean into a variety of other things, including baseball and softball and football and other stuff.
Follow me at JT Penfield. Be sure to follow the main site at Cowboys RFF. We'll be back next week with another episode. I don't know what it'll be yet, but we'll talk to you all then.